death awaits you all with nasty big pointy teeth.
Step up to the microphone, say it loud and clear. A better day is coming soon to get us out of here.
Welcome to PID Radio. I'm Derek Gilbert.
And I am Sharon Gilbert, everybody, and welcome to our bunker. We've got it all fixed up for you here on this May the 2nd of 2006.
Wait a minute. 5 plus 2 plus 6 equals... 13.
Not the 13.
Well, wait a minute. Next month is conspiracy month. This month is prophecy month.
That's so right. Well,
we're
sometimes
not
they
bother
coincide,
us.
You know.
Can, yes, it can.
They can. In fact, there's a story in Watcher Magazine today that deals with that very thing. It is a story that comes from the Denver Post, and it talks about how some groups may just use June the 6th of 2006 for their own devices.
Mm-hmm. 6-6-0-6.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Well, you know, it's really funny. When I posted this story this afternoon to Watcher, one of the, you know, we categorize things. So if you want to go through and you want to read all prophecy stories over the last year, then you could do that.
Mm-hmm.
I put this in prophecy, but I also put it in psyops.
That's true. And I think that's very well... I mean, that's a good categorization.
Well, the interesting thing about this is the story talks about how there are certain religious groups that might just take advantage of this day to prove some things that they've said. And then, in other words, it is be afraid of Christians.
It's Project Megiddo all over again.
Yeah, yeah.
If you don't remember Project Megiddo, that was a report written by the FBI during the Clinton administration that suggested that there would be certain Christian groups, fundamentalist Christian groups, of course, that would try to usher in the apocalypse on January 1st of 2000.
Mm-hmm.
And you can still find the PDF file. In fact, I have a copy on my hard drive here because it was referenced in my forthcoming novel, The God Conspiracy, in which a terrorist event is blamed on fundamentalist right-wing questions. Christians, that is.
No, so, questions.
Yeah. But the point is that there are people out there who may, while there are people out there who may want to use 6-6-0-6 for their own devices, there may also be people who just want you to think so.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Discernment.
And, you know, and we are... Because of 666 coming up, we have chosen for, you know, the month of May and part of June to emphasize prophecy, mm-hmm. you know, and with our guests. But after that, we're going to have conspiracy series coming up in June and July. So, you know, we're all over the place with this. But the reason, of course, is because of 666 coming up. And you cannot deny that that is in Scripture. However, that day may come and go with nothing.
Absolutely.
And
so,
I pray it does.
Be not afraid to, you know, quote the angel. God does not give us a spirit of fear.
No,
so that's how we can talk about things like this and not be just panicky and shaking all the time, because we know that ultimately things have already been foreseen and the end has been determined and foretold.
Mm-hmm.
So
that
it's
is
not
so true.
Going to be pleasant necessarily, but it doesn't mean we need to fear, especially, again, if you're a Christian, you don't fear for what's going to happen to the physical body.
Mm-hmm.
You're concerned with what's going to happen to the part of you that's going to live forever. All of us live forever. There's no question about that. The question that has to be answered before it's too late, and you never know when that moment is where are you going to spend eternity? Where is that address?
Well, exactly. So, I mean, let's say something scriptural does happen on June 6th of 06. The fact is, there are many people in the world who will cease to exist physically. They will die on 6-5 of 06. They won't see it.
That's true.
And for all I know, I'm one of them. You just don't know.
Right. So that's the reason here. But again, the bottom line is that we can address these issues and not be afraid because we have that assurance.
Mm-hmm.
So,
amen.
It is interesting. There was a story out of England about women who were getting really paranoid about the upcoming date.
Yeah.
And were afraid that if they give birth on June 6th that their baby might turn out to be the Antichrist. Now, excuse me, but that is known as getting your theology from the movies.
And, the Omen.
Right. And
the baby was born on June 6th at 6:06
or something like that.
Yeah, 6 in the morning or something. Yeah. But it worked out to be 6.
And as gentle as we try to be with people who whose ideas need a little more guidance, frankly, that's just ate up.
It really is.
I mean, you're talking about eternity here. Isn't that a little more important than to trust in what you get out of the fiction aisle at the Blockbuster?
Well, you know what? I think if the Antichrist has not already been born, and I frankly think he probably already has been, then I think the mother of that child is going to be aware that something is going on. Mm-hmm. Mary was.
Yeah, you're right. It's a good point. And this will be a mirror image. A distorted copy as Satan tries to counterfeit the birth of the Christ.
Exactly. And the thing to remember there is, just like Mary was told in advance, I believe, again, let's say the Antichrist has not yet been born. Mm-hmm. That mother will be told in advance, but she'll be told she's being giving birth to the Savior of this world.
Mm. And it may be that, although Satan certainly knows Scripture better than any of us, he does not have the gift of omniscience that God has, and so is not aware of exactly when that time is going to be. In fact, Jesus, when he limited himself and took on human flesh, said that no one knew the day or the hour, mm-hmm. only the Father. So it may be that, and this is a concept that you put forward to me, and I think there's a lot to this. It may be that Satan always has, to use a baseball analogy, a couple of guys warming up in the bullpen, ready to bring on at a moment's notice. It could be that Adolf Hitler was a candidate, uh-huh. but when the time turned out not to be right, he was allowed to go to destruction. It mm-hmm. could be that there's someone in the world today, and you know, we could spend the next hour debating potential candidates, mm-hmm. who could be, if God's timing was right, could be the Antichrist foretold in the book of Revelation.
Yep.
But if the time turns out not to be now, but later on down the road, there will surely be another candidate ready to go and ready to step in and fulfill that role as Satan tries to preempt the coming of the second coming of the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
Because he believes in his overweening pride that he can somehow short circuit the events that are foretold in the Bible.
He does. He really does believe that. And I think that he believed that he was doing that at the cross.
Yeah.
That somehow, by taking Christ's life, he could just stop it right then and there. Mm-hmm. But the fact is, he didn't take Christ's life. Christ gave his life. Christ mm-hmm. gave up the ghost.
Yeah.
Which means that he chose his very second of death.
Yeah.
He
yeah.
left that body. He was not run away for. He was not, you know, he was not killed.
And unlike the other ancient Near Eastern dying gods to whom Jesus has been compared, he was the only one who said, I lay it down and I can take it back up mm-hmm. again. And then 3 days later, just as he foretold, he did.
Exactly. And he could have come back to life on the cross.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So anyway, those are some of the topics that we'll be kicking around over the next 4 or 5 weeks is
that
really
and
up to 6,
many
6, 6.
More. You know, yeah. We've got some great things in store. Well, speaking about prophecy and things in the news, one of the big things that we talk about, Watcher Magazine, PID Radio, and even in our blogs, Derek is faithful about keeping his up every day. I post about once a month or so. And that is to take a look at the stories that are in the headlines and ask yourself, is this something that is relative to Scripture? How do I interpret this? What's mm-hmm. really going on here? And I think one of those stories right now is Evo Morales down in Bolivia,
hmm.
who is nationalizing everything. Mm-hmm. He's nationalized oil and gas so far, and he announced today that he intends to keep going until he's nationalized just about every business in the country, which means he is the supreme dictator. He runs your life.
Hmm.
Now, if that isn't a microcosm of what will happen very soon when the Antichrist that we were just speaking of nationalizes everything
yeah.
and everyone.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's very interesting because there are a lot of powerful interests that want their hooks into Bolivia because it's got a lot of natural gas there. It's got the second most natural gas reserves in South America, and that's a lot of mm-hmm. that's a lot of energy. And let's face it, some of the companies that he is whose toes he's stepping on are pretty big. ExxonMobil among them, Total from France. There are some pretty big companies that are going to get bent out of shape. It just makes you wonder how long Mr. Morales will be allowed to stay on the stage.
And I think that's a very good point. These companies have 6 months to play ball, which probably means, okay, I want this, 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 and this before you get to stay in the country. And if not, you're out.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to leave.
Right.
So either they have to do a lot of compromising or the whole Megillah has to change.
Isn't it coincidental that companies like Black Watch and Wackenhut are now openly advertising for clients who need armies sent, small private armies, small highly trained mobile private armies sent into foreign hotspots? Well, I don't know about that, but I wouldn't be too surprised to see them being contacted quietly.
So is Pat Robertson going to be on the news this week calling for something to happen
Morales?
To Morales?
That's a good question. I don't know.
You know what? It's sad because the truth is that I think it's pretty cool that a native Indian has risen to that position in the country. It's just too bad that he leans so toward just fascism and, and communism.
Right. But you can understand why they'd be upset with companies like ExxonMobil and, BG Group from England coming in there and sucking the resources out of the country and really giving not a whole lot back to the people who live there. It's not the kind of deal that we Americans would want to see if, say, Russian petroleum company came into Texas and started drilling for oil and, basically controlling how the resources were distributed and how much of a cut we got. So we don't claim to be scholars on the political situation in South America, but I don't think you have to dig real hard to find that the United States and corporations based in the United States have really taken advantage of our southern neighbors, Mexico and points south, over the last 150 years.
Oh, and not just our southern neighbors. We are taking advantage of African nations left and right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
If you're a developing or third world country, forget it.
Yeah.
If you don't have the power to come up against us, then we're just going to come in with our little IMF.
and
we're
World
gonna
Bank
just take
and,
you. Yeah.
Yeah. We're gonna tear that's basically what's happening. So we'll have to watch what happens down there. And of course the Middle East is always an area that we have to watch for news items of prophetic importance. Ahmadinejad in Iran is now saying that he threatens to attack Israel in response to any evil act by the United States. So if we do anything evil, he's gonna attack. I just wonder, what if we just do something that's rude or impolite.
Impolite and evil.
Yeah. No, I don't mean to be make light of it, but it's just the latest in the ongoing game of brinksmanship that's taking place over there.
It is. You know, he's like Java, our dog. When
Java
she starts barking, it's mostly bluster.
Because there's
yet there are little teeth in there.
Which can break the skin.
They can.
Mm-hmm, yeah. One item I thought was interesting, though, was the note that Turkey and Israel have agreed to cooperate to build underwater oil and gas pipelines
Isn't
between those two countries.
Isn't that an interesting
now,
story?
Now, when you look at the Gog-Magog war prophesied in Ezekiel 38, don't some of those nations correspond with the territory occupied by Turkey today, the modern nation of Turkey?
Yes. And in fact, there are many scholars, and, you know, frankly, we may interview some over the next few weeks that don't buy into the fact that Russia might be, you know, Gog and Magog. If Russia is the country who invades, then if they're going to come by land, then they're going to have to come through Turkey.
Yeah. And interestingly enough, these pipelines that Turkey and Israel are going to cooperate on are intended to bring oil and gas from Russia to Israel and Jordan.
Okay, now let's take that a little further and let's take a look at Russia.
Mm-hmm.
Russia is big into natural gas right now.
Yeah.
I think Putin wants to become the king of natural gas.
He may well. Europe really depends heavily on Russian natural gas.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And the question, in Scripture, when Gog-Magog, Gog of Magog comes down there, to invade Israel, the question from those nations who are not involved is, What are you doing? Are you coming down to take a spoil?
Hmm.
It's like it comes out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And if Putin really does want to be the king of natural gas, then he may look at this with envious eyes.
Mm-hmm. There's a pretty big potential market there. Israel's economy is, always on shaky ground, and you could argue that it wouldn't have much of an economy without support from the United States. But still, it is a technologically advanced nation with a skilled workforce. Jordan, with a stable Iraq on the far side of it, stands to gain from a stable political situation, mm-hmm. and would love to see its economy build up and become a more modern nation, and that would increase its demand for energy. So, the Russians could see a real market there for its product. But you're right. If they build this pipeline and the Russian government's behind it, the company Gazprom, which is owned by the Russian government, mm-hmm. is supporting the deal. So if they go down there to invade the country that they're just helping to build up, you're right. That would certainly fit into the prophetic timeline, the prophetic scenario of Ezekiel 38.
Well, you know, the funny thing about Putin right now is he has made a lot of moves over the last year that have really cheesed a lot of countries, heads of countries, and much of it has to do with this natural gas thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he's really cheesing off Europe and England right now, too, because he is making them the end user and subject to the whims of Russia, whether or not they get gas, you know, for their heating in the mm-hmm. wintertime. Now, he is the head of the G8 right now.
Mm-hmm.
And there will be many meetings over the next 6 months or so, of which he will be heading the meetings. So he's hired a United States PR firm to make him look good.
Well, you know, those U.S. PR firms are really good. Sold us on the rape of Kuwait. They've been selling us on the evilness, mm-hmm. to coin a word, of al-Zarqawi in Iraq, if he even exists.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, you say that like I've got, you know, I say that like I've got a tinfoil hat on, but it's been admitted by the United States military that they've been planting stories in the press over there about al-Zarqawi.
Yeah.
And isn't it interesting that just when things, you know, we need a little boost there in our PR, in our stature over there, suddenly he pops out in the first videotape in 10 years. If you're going to go to somebody for PR in order to sell the sizzle, yeah, find an American PR firm, because we're getting really, really good at wagging the dog.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Incidentally, we forgot to mention this last night, and we probably should. The nuclear terror drill, or the National Guard's drill going on in Chicago, went off so far without a hitch. Mm-hmm. Today was
started
the first day.
Today.
Started today. It runs through Thursday. That's May 4th. And Captain Eric May, who heads what he calls a cyber intelligence unit called Ghost Troop, has been really doing yeoman's work at just shouting loud and long to anyone who'll listen that there is a real risk of a drill going live this week, mm-hmm. up in Chicago. And I give him credit for this, because there are a lot of people who will stand back and point at him and say, that guy's a lunatic. And, you know, he may well be right, because he has picked out a lot of interesting numerology around some of these events that have taken place already, you know, 9/11 and 7/7 and 3/11 in Spain, mm-hmm. and so on, and how they connect to potential events here in the U.S. And he's been saying for over a year that the Sears Tower in Chicago may well be a target. Coincidentally, or not, it happens to be owned by Larry Silverstein, the gentleman who owned the World Trade Center at the time the trade centers were attacked on 9/11.
Hadn't he just recently bought that?
He just recently bought them, yeah. He's the guy that very famously said on PBS that we made the decision to pull Building 7,
yes.
which is a term that means just basically blow it up.
Yeah.
So, also coincidentally, or not, the Sears Tower happens to sit in zip code 60606 in Chicago,
That's
Illinois.
That's very interesting. So, I wasn't aware of that.
So, I will put a link in the show notes to a radio interview that Captain May did this past Saturday night with Daniel Ott in Indianapolis. He does a show called The Edge on Saturday nights. It streams live. And I'll give Daniel credit for giving him an hour of time. And Captain May got out there and spoke his piece about what's happening in Chicago or what may happen in Chicago. And who knows, the publicity may be enough to
prevent whatever, exactly,
something. So,
you know, and that's wonderful.
Yeah.
We'll find out one day all the things that might have taken place had God not stayed it with his hand.
The other interesting coincidence regarding this is that this week, the other target that he's been talking about and really trying to wake people up to is Texas City, Texas, which is an area of a lot of oil refineries and petrochemical refineries. And it's just outside Houston. Of course, George W. Bush's power base, Tom DeLay's congressional district. And it just happens to be that there is an emergency drill taking place in Houston this week.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Hurricane evacuation drill.
Well, let's be honest. These drills make sense.
It's
just that sadly, they have been historically sometimes used for cover of an actual event.
Right.
And one could say coincidence, but as I've said to you many times, I don't believe in coincidence.
No. Things usually happen because they're intended to happen a certain way. So anyway, we just put that out there as intelligence. And as anyone with experience in intelligence will tell you, and that is not me, but I've got some friends who have experience with intelligence. They will tell you that much of what comes across your desk is worthless. But you have to take it into consideration anyway and try to fit it into a picture. Mm-hmm. Just as, you know, we try to see the spiritual war that goes on around us. And as Paul said, we look through a glass darkly, see as through a glass darkly. That's kind of how we see these little bits and pieces of intelligence. And we put those out there so that you can do further reading. And we always appreciate your analysis and feedback, which you can send to radio@peeringintodarkness.com. So, Captain May, can you carry on, sir, and we salute you.
Well, we don't want to keep you from part two of the Rust Is Our interview any longer. So those of you who are ready to hear it, here it comes. And those of you who aren't ready to hear it, well, here it comes anyway. So Rust Is Our part two.
Rust, we left off yesterday just beginning to talk about some of the occult theology of the Nazi Party and how that might have been transferred after 1945 to other parts of the world, specifically North America, Operation Paperclip. We've talked about that in the past. But you said that some of the Nazi beliefs, or the Nazi belief, centers on a literal bloodline of the Nephilim. Can you expand on that a little more?
Well, when you go back to the dealing with the Multiples is one thing. When we track them and the idea of bloodlines back, the reason they have such an importance concerning the blood and history of the blood is that they believe there's particular powers in it. Even in ritual transfer of a grandfather that was maybe a highly empowered or demonized person, when there's a specific ritual, when they die, they need to transfer those powers out of the blood into the grandson or the next generation. That's why there's a constant idea of drinking the blood, even in rituals, because of the power of the demonic presence and power that connects to blood. Whether we believe that or not, it's what they definitely believe. So when you track this further and further back, what they're researching and trying to find, and even when you look in terms of Hitler's people, they were trying to research and find, you know, the powers that were in the old Aryan blood, which was, again, revealed occultically to individuals, and that they needed to find the old bloodlines. But the further you begin to look at Aryans, the godmen, they are very similar to the idea of the Nephilim, the half-breeds of humans and demons, they would have powers of telekinesis and clairvoyance and healings, and they would be even bigger, larger, live longer. All those kind of things are found in the descriptions of the Aryans. And my personal belief is the Aryans, Lumerians, Atlanteans, those kind of figures that the Hyperboleans and so forth that Madame Blavatsky talked about, that they were all Nephilim bloodlines.
What you're talking about, where she taught that there are seven races?
Yeah, right. And even one of them is called the Coming Race.
Yeah, exactly.
It wasn't even listed. So, yeah, I'm talking about those, and when I deal with the people that have this, that's why when we do deliverance, it's like whenever the coven people get them back, they do a thing called purification. They got to purify them, which means that they take them through blood rituals again and re-demonize the blood. They believe the demonic presence is connected in and through the blood, and that's where the magical or the demonic empowerments come through too. And the heightened awareness, their abilities, longevity, their ability to leave their body and come back, things like that.
For the blood is the life.
Sure. And see, there's a counterpart to this in the scriptures. Jesus came from a bloodline that was untainted from all of the cultic nations, the Nephilim-type nations. When you look in the Old Testament, you know, you read in the Gospels where Jesus' bloodline, there's a reason for his bloodline being untainted from this demonic human hybrid stuff, to where there was nothing in his bloodline all the way back to Adam that would have been connected to the Nephilim.
You know, and I'm glad you brought that up, because I think there may be some listeners who do agree that there were, you know, hybrid fallen angel human hybrids called the Nephilim before the flood.
Right.
But the fact is, the scripture says, and after.
Sure.
And why give his bloodline if he went back to Noah and everybody back to Noah was pure?
Right, because there was a wiping out, but even afterwards, as Amzumis and others, you know, you could do the study. There's a lot of good people coming out with some of the good studies now, but the issue now is it happening around us today?
Mm-hmm.
According to Aleister Crowley and his crew, they were doing Moonchild, you know, experiments and attempting the Babylon working. They've been doing this for years upon years. And then when we talk to the undergrounders, these multiples that were deeply entrenched in multi-generational Satanism in bloodlines, every one of them have inside cult-loyal personalities that will detail the style of ritual that they do to get this, and their belief that they're going to be the godmen, that it's very similar. They understand the idea of Nephilim. They believe in it. Whether we do or not, they do.
Mm-hmm. You know, I know Derek wants to ask a question, but if I don't do this now, I'll forget. You used the phrase Babylon working, which, of course, was what Aleister Crowley called his incantation.
Well, it was Jack Parsons.
Sorry, it was Parsons. That's
and
right.
And Ron Hubbard, yeah.
That's right. He called his something else.
He did the Amalantra working.
That's right. Thank you, Ben. The Lamalung. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Ramalantra, my dear Watson. Have you read, I can't give credence to this where I know that this is a fact, but it is being said, and Sorcia Fall is one of the sources for this, so again, I don't know if this is true or not, but supposedly the U.S. has, in the Babylon ruins, has inscribed, how big is the circle?
There was according to the story, there was a 1 kilometer perimeter in the shape of the ancient snake god.
The feathered serpent.
Feathered serpent, right. Inscribed around, in the desert sand, around the ruins of ancient Babylon.
Now, what we do know is that there are legitimate stories saying that U.S. soldiers have had to apologize to the local government for desecrating that area.
Well, it'll be very interesting because, again, the idea of territorial and the idea, if you remember 2 Kings 23, when Josiah destroyed the objects buried them. And because, again, the objects, if they're demonized, the place, if it's demonized, in a sense, can be reactivated. All real left-hand path occultists know that. And biblically, we should understand that because the Bible teaches a lot about this principle. The idea of attachment to objects, to territory, to where, you know, the slab of at Tobiath, where Moloch, you know, where Manasseh actually sacrificed his own son.
Mm-hmm.
The powers, once they're brought over and the doors are opened, they're going to stay unless they're expelled in some way. So the old way was to bury the ritual objects, to do this kind of stuff, to get rid of things. But when you reopen them and maybe even have some kind of, you know, just like Michael Aquino did when he went to the Hall of the Dead, Himmler's Castle, mm-hmm. to do a working there, because they believe and they understand that there's a greater likelihood that they're going to get powers and get answers and reawaken things. So the Babylon working, I mean, even the multiples, the real dark ones, and again, they can call in, they can send you emails and tell you, they have this term that they call themselves, or at least their handlers, German handlers, call them Babylon working babies, BWBs. And that term is used among them, and they understand the Moonchild stuff, and they understand, you know, Babylon, of course, being the place of 53 satanic temples in the days of Daniel. It's highly charged. Even if Christians walk over, they need to be prayed up. These military guys that know the Lord need to be really prayed up.
Interesting. Tom Horn mentioned when I talked to him on the Q-Files Friday night that he has been able to verify privately, and he can't reveal
this
who.
This was Friday, April the 21st.
Yeah, he said that he was able to privately verify that such a working had, in fact, taken place. You cannot name a source, but
Look at the CIA's attempt through the old projects. You know, the Operation Paperclip idea that came over. Then you had Monarch and Spellbinder, and often all these operations and projects dealt with, you know, training individuals to seek out every, you know, because Hitler did it, the Russians were doing it, and the United States had to go after every kind of psychic, occultic, anything that would give an advantage in war, so that the gods of war, the demonic gods of war, would be drawn back into the implementation of victories. And this is one way that Satan gains ground when he uses even military to bring out his ideology and so forth.
One of the things that I've often wondered regards the relationship of some of the Eastern religions, say Buddhism, Hinduism, and some of their more esoteric practices with the opening of the barriers between the physical world and the spiritual world. Is that why Hitler brought so many Buddhist monks over to Germany to for research purposes, or were they working on literally trying to break down the barriers and open and give the give him some supernatural power to use in his campaign?
I believe the research ended up with that pursuit of seeking powers to grant, as militaries have done throughout history, even to the Old Testament with Moses and the pagan nation that fought against Israel. There was supernatural powers behind both, and they determined ultimately the victors, even when there was a great outnumbering. And some even believed in the military war that the war, some believe that Chamberlain told FDR that ultimately it's not going to be just the physical firepower, that there's got to be a supernatural power to defeat Germany. If you want to talk about white witchcraft or white psychic power, there was a number of psychics that were trying to do things against Hitler because they even believed that he had dark, that the powers were so dark that they were trying to psychically fight him, and they would wear themselves out. But I do believe, Derek, that's exactly it, because over there there's this belief, this tremendous reservoir of ascended masters in a protected place, you know, above Tibet and so forth, where they've been interacting and the masters have been revealing. And notice what they're revealing. They're revealing an agenda for the human race, a one-world agenda. I was Buddhist for 4 years, learned Golden Buddha meditation, got out of my body. The master that taught me here, the physical master, Master Rong, would tell us to let these ascended masters come in your body and teach you these incredible universal truths. Well, I got saved in the midst of this, and of course, that was all renounced. But they have learned how to open the doorways to these beings, which are demonic ultimately. But they're very intelligent, and they've been around a long time, and they are literally teaching those who are willing. They are seeking learners because they want to implement their program. And whether it's from them over Tibet, you know, that have come into the German side, or in the occultism of France and England, or over here now in the New Age and the UN and stuff, the story is the same. These spirits are speaking in unison. They're talking about a one world order and a one world religion. If you want to quote them, you can go to books like Paul Von Ward, who used to be a Baptist minister, or said he was, in his book God's Consciousness and Genetics, I think it's on. He talks about them being the advanced beings, that now we need to listen to the collective voice of these advanced beings for a new humanity. And it is setting the stage for the criminalizing of Christianity, per se, real Christianity, and the breaking forth of a Antichristu, the Antichrist, mm-hmm. coming into the world.
Well, and I think that there are many people, when they hear the term Antichrist, they believe someone against Christ.
Right.
But anti, A-N-T-I, also means in place of, just like
sure.
it has to mean.
Sure, you're exactly right. The Hooper there can mean exactly that. And I think it is, the idea of replacement. Because when he first arrives on the scene after the Black Away, after the Great Chaos occurs, you know, he creates the chaos only to come in to save the day and to look like the greatest human savior in all of history.
Order out of chaos.
Exactly. Luciferian, that's a deep, long-term, long-held Luciferian teaching.
Hmm. Getting back to what's going on in Lancaster County and that having been the longtime seat of the Aryan Brotherhood, is it too much of a stretch to connect what the Nazis were doing with their occult beliefs and practices and the modern Aryan nations and its influence on the surrounding area there? And I have to confess, I don't know what the Aryan nations teaches.
Of course, they're looking for a whole new kind of world, too, a supremacy based on, again, Aryan. And the further you get into it, it is really anti-Christian, too. It's not anything Jesus taught. But the violent hatred of bloodline, the separation of, you know, of course, their hatred of the Jews and their desire, like, and you'll find on some of the sites, even in Lancaster area, you'll find on some Aryan sites an enormous hatred of the Jews and literally they would rather see the Palestinians and others, Iranians, annihilate the Jews. Hmm. There's that level of hatred, and where you see that level of hatred, you see the seat of Satan, in the sense that Jesus is going to return visibly someday to that very region territorially. There's going to be tremendous promises unleashed, and I still think that Satan is trying to outrun prophecy. Mm-hmm. And the agenda of his hatred for the Jews and the attempt at annihilation of them over the last 2,000 years is being seen again in the ideology and belief system and practices of the Aryans right there in the Lancaster area, along with across the United States. But you have this Nazi connection because of, after the war in 45 and in the 50s, up through the 50s, Pennsylvania had these internment camps where Nazis were brought over. Germans were in camps all over there. And when the war was over, many of those people were just names were changed, and they were released to live in Pennsylvania in the 50s. And, of course, the doctors and so forth. So if you check out places like the Pennsylvania State University, when you begin to check out the psychiatric centers and places all through that region down in Philadelphia, Lancaster, so forth, you're going to find the trappings of occult ideology that flowed from the Nazis coming here, kind of a pseudo-occultic science of mind for military, for mind control, the creation of, you know, super soldiers, things like that, filtered throughout the whole area. That's why we believe there are hundreds of thousands of multiples that have flowed out of since the 50s, out of Pennsylvania. Tremendous centers where there's demonic worship in the caves and the places. We're finding out every single city we've been to, every one of them, Derek and Sharon, have part of the Brotherhood, Ancient Brotherhood, which is the connection to what's called the Black Flame out of Germany, which the Black Flame, the SS soldiers were all part of the Black Flame and its belief systems. They believe not only in a super race, but in a super messiah, a superman to come. And those two things put together spell out what the biblical prophecies have been telling us and warning us of what's coming.
Hmm. Now, you talked about a coming period of great chaos, and I know you've used the term the Black Awakening in the past. Can you expound on that just a little bit for those who
are... Sure. I think that it's all spelled out in biblical prophecy concerning the deception, the rumbling of nations, the wars and rumors of wars. You can read about a lot of the basic overview in Matthew and things like that, but when you come to 2 Thessalonians, and when it says that day of the Lord will not occur, the parousia, the gathering together, will not occur until two things. And it says very clearly, I mean specifically, it's very razor sharp in the Greek, that day of the Lord will not occur until in our English translations, most of them might have the word apostasy. NIV says rebellion. And I think for a long time it was, you know, even when I was in Bible schools, they said, well, that just means the falling away of Christians. It said, you know, that the day of the Lord won't come until the apostasy and the man of sin or man of lawlessness is revealed, referring to a visible, you know, appearance. I mean, his literal appearance on the earth, to where he's really known. And this is supposed to be stuff, according to that second chapter, that we should know very, very well and not be diverted from any false report, prophecy, as it speaks about in that chapter. Well, when you do a study on the history of the word, the Greek word there used for rebellion, you can take it to the Old Testament Septuagint in the days of Moses, where he's getting the Ten Commandments, and it's used there when the people rebelled and turned everything upside down, went back to the calf worship, and completely went into revelry, and you know, just everything. They just completely forsook. It's used in the Greek, Old Greek, Koine Greek, as far as it's a military or political coup. It's meant to create such a quick and vast coup over a nation or over a city, a polis in the old Greek days, and to flip it over in order to put a new regime in. So it's the idea of regime change, but fostered through a massive, chaotic, and violent turning over in order to eliminate the old and put in something new. So there should be a deeper study biblically on this word, and I believe it's connected to what all of these people call, the undergrounders call it, a black awakening. That's their terminology, not mine. So that's why I use it, because we need to unveil some of the stuff they're planning. The idea of, you know, a new order out of the chaos is connected directly to this. They all can speak it in Latin. They know it very well, and they believe, these folks believe they are the troops that will help bring in Antichrist, but they have to create massive anarchy and collapse and elimination of resistors first for him to come to power.
Why would they speak in Latin rather than Greek?
Well, Latin, you know, you see it in the, a lot of the Masonic materials you see, you know, Latin used there. And when you usually read the phrase, it's in Latin in different places you read it. It's, you know, in our own materials, even on the back of our dollar bill, you know, the idea of Latin is used there, connected to the Masonic, the all-seeing eye, the Luminists. And of course, with them, a Latin is used backwards also. But I mean, that's what I'm saying. They'll come out. It's just crazy. They'll come out and quote it backwards or forward in Latin.
Hmm.
That's really interesting.
That is. That sounds. Have they given you any indication, the multiples that you've worked with, as to what this chaos is going to look like? What areas of our society might be targeted?
Well, and again, in our pursuit of once we were really getting them to tell us these things and to show us places and to give us materials, and at one time we had 7 tables full of confiscated materials, including boxes of testing materials from Ivy League type schools, that, you know, just all kinds of crazy stuff and stuff they showed us. But yeah, they for example, they believe, and they'll, again, whether we believe this or not, this is what they say. They've got sleepers in every segment of society. It's basic United States. It's going to happen in Europe and England too. But because the United States is the power that has to be brought in, and most likely not to want to be brought into the European stuff, the rise of Antichrist there, something has to happen to negate its ability to bring it down. And so their mentality, the plan is this, that they've created these super soldiers, they planned these programmed, demonized personalities that are sleepers inside these people, placed in law enforcement, in feds, among the feds, among military, among churches everywhere, all kinds of churches, that when this time approaches and they're activated, triggered, they will be unleashed to do pre-programmed. They've got their targets marked, and it could be pastors, churches, law enforcement. They're going to shoot, they're going to kill, they're going to blow up, they're going to create such anarchy, they're going to shut down electrical grids, they're going to poison water centers. they are going to do what they can do to create the chaos. So in the midst of them beginning to do it, of course, law enforcement is going to be called on the scene to go out. But if you have sleepers in law enforcement that immediately blow up the weapons room and begin to shoot other officers, then you have anarchy there. You're going to have it in politics. They believe that they have sleepers there. They're going to take out certain senators and people like that. They believe the same in military. It is. I mean, if we really believe what they're saying, this is one way that internally the United States could easily collapse over a short period of time.
Do you think it's possible that sometimes when we see in the news that, you know, Mr. Jones, who was working at such and such company, suddenly shoots all his, you know, fellow employees?
I think that's possible. I think that, and especially if they change into uniform or they, you know, if they're militaristic, there's a belief that people can go kind of just, you know, crazy, depressed, whatever else, and they do stupid things, evil things. But in the program sense, when somebody is triggered to do and to go after their pre-planned targets, that's all they know to do. They will not do anything but that. And if it's a matter of a company or something like that, then if someone gets triggered early for some reason, because we've been able to, through a freedom encounter, inside these multiples, to go inside and find sleepers and dismantle the programming, of course, get rid of the demonic side that energizes them, and bring the sleepers up and eventually bring inner healing and see them completely healed, and there's no possibility of them being triggered. Nobody can trigger them then. And the entire program, and that's where we find a lot of the information. Now, we just did a thing here not too long ago with a girl that had military sleepers inside, and we reached the final seven of them. She is so totally healed, so totally strong in the Lord right now, but she has the same kind of background. I guess it's just because we've seen it. We've seen them when they're triggered. We've seen them when they've been triggered, and it literally attacks some of our, come after us with weapons. We have found that when they're triggered like that and their eyes are all glazed over and they're just supposed to do their job, we found that the only thing right then on the spot, we'd have to physically tackle them and hold, you know, and then start praying over them. I mean, we've had to just engage them like that. Otherwise, they could have literally killed, you know, one of our staff members.
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
Well, this is a real bleak prognosis that you're laying out for us, Russ. We want to talk a little bit about what Shatter the Darkness does, what you and your team do in order to free people from this type of programming when we continue our discussion with Pastor Russ Dizdar tomorrow on PID Radio.
We'll conclude with part three of our interview with Russ Dizdar of Shatter the Darkness Ministries tomorrow, and we'll delve further into the prophetic implications of his research and his work and his ministry as he talks about the intelligence that he's been gathering from the multiples that he's been working with, the chosen ones, the Babylon working babies. They see a time in which they will be activated in order to set up the groundwork, to lay the groundwork for the coming of the Antichrist, he who will bring order from chaos.
Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh. Well, we're asking your prayer, folks. Pray for our phone. We had a brand new cable modem installed for our phone through Charter Telephone, and our line has click, 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 almost like it's constantly almost disconnecting. It's a little annoying. No, it's very annoying.
Yes.
And we have an interview scheduled for tomorrow night and another one scheduled for Thursday night, both to do over the phone that we'll be broadcasting over the next few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
These are great interviews, and we believe God really wants these interviews to take place. So just pray that gentleman who's coming tomorrow afternoon, I assume it'll be a gentleman, maybe a woman, the repair person coming tomorrow afternoon, will find exactly what's wrong. And if it's something to do with the box out in our yard, which is what we were told regarding the internet, that they fix it very quickly. Mm-hmm. And it gets bumped up toward the top of the repair list, and we get all that taken care of. That God moves mightily.
Well, we'll find a way. If we have to do this with Skype or something, we'll get it done. So get her done.
Just a warning. If for some reason God chooses for us to go ahead and do it with the clicks in the phone, we just pray that you can put up with that just for a few interviews.
Yeah. Oh, coolest thing ever. Sharon surprised me tonight with the box set of The Lone Gunman's complete series. If you're not familiar with that, those are the three geeky guys from the X-Files. They had a very short-lived series on Fox, 13 episodes.
13!
Including the pilot episode, which took place before 9/11 and featured a passenger jetliner being flown into the, or almost flown into the Twin Towers.
Exactly.
By remote control. So we'll be watching that. Plus, it had really cool theme music.
Oh, it's the greatest series. If you haven't seen The Lone Gunman, go pick up this DVD set. I got it at Sam's Club. It's probably lots of places. You can probably get it at Amazon.com. This was the last one they had over there.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. There are, you know, fans that are still devoted to that series out there because it's three guys, geeky, socially awkward, smarter than they ought to be, but not really fitting into society. And so, in other words, the kind of people that we can relate to. And ultimately, they included the episode in here from The X-Files, which was sort of their farewell.
Yeah, I'm glad they did.
Well, I won't tell you how it goes.
Yeah,
but
you don't want to go there. But anyway, it's
great,
it's excellent
series. Yeah, it was cut off too short, like all the good ones on Fox.
So. I know.
Tomorrow night, the conclusion of our interview with Russ Dizdar. And then on Thursday, we'll begin a three-part interview with Rick Wiles.
God willing.
News. Yes, God willing. And we'll talk with him about the coming fireball, that comet 73P.
Yeah, Rick Wiles has been talking about this on his website for a while. Go to True News, TRUNEWS.com, and he has a number of interviews that you can download. Actually, it's his show.
Right.
So you can download those, listen to them at your leisure and on your iPod if you want to. And he's talking about these visions that God is giving him and many other people across the country. And, it, you know, when you look at 73P and you think about what may be coming, I found out that, and I had suspected it, but I have verified, Schwassmann-Wachmann, which is the name of the, it was named in 1927 when it was discovered by these two gentlemen. I could not find the name, the meaning of the name Schwassmann. So if you are German or you have some German friends and you can find that out, it was not in my dictionary. And I've got a thick dictionary. It's 4 inches thick because I studied German in college. But Wachmann means watchman.
Very interesting. Very interesting. It there's one particular piece of this comet called 3BD, which they don't seem to have a real good handle on yet at NASA as to where or how close it's going to go. They're saying that they're probably going to hit me about 33 times farther than the moon from Earth. But there's a pretty wide margin of error on that particular piece. So we're watching that one.
Well, until tomorrow, assuming all goes well and we're still here, and the creek don't rise and the dogs don't bite. This is Sharon Gilbert.
I'm Derek Gilbert. Thanks for listening to PID Radio.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Gonna step up to the microphone, say it loud and clear.